that we're the same. Two great companies come together now. MBNA is B of A, and it's one bank, one con, one name that's known all over the world, one spirit, we get to share it, leading us all to higher standards. To me, Bruce Hammond. Have you come to me, Leah McGee? Have you heard about Michelle Shepard? She's leading the team in the Northeast. And we've got Bank One on the run. What's in your wallet? It's not Capital One. It's us. So which kind of you? Integration's never had us feeling so good. And we'll make lots of money. Forever I can sing about trusting and teamwork and doing the right thing. We'll live out our core values while the competition crawls. Cause they want what we have got. But it's only here at Bank of America. One bank, one card, one name that's known all over the world. One heart filled with spirit, with feeling, share it. One bank working every day. To bring higher standards, higher standards.
It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of February in the year of our Lord 2007, live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. The best part is when he says name checking all of the mid-level management that are in attendance.
So uncomfortable.
As you come meet your shepherd.
It's uncomfortable because everyone can see that happening in their company.
Oh, totally. Even here. That's the one bank video that's by, it's from, so is Bank of America? No, because he says that they've got B of A on the run. Well, what bank is that? Is Bank One? Is Bank One and MBNA, which I guess are the same now? I don't even know what MBNA stands for. A little fun fact, I have an MBNA credit card in my wallet. I don't even know what MBNA stands for. We've got this. Rick, I would like to request a refund of the minutes of my life that were forfeited when I was made to listen to that MBNA song. I want my life back. Burn in hell, you bastard. You're going to cancer.
So it's one of those, yeah, it's like a card thing. You have to look. You have to listen.
Genius. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's, what is it today? Today is Thursday. And welcome to day 12, day 4 in our new studios. And you know what this blinking red light in front of me means? It means we have phones, baby. Not sort of in the laughable kind of colloquial sense that we had
don't
phones yesterday.
Don't say that until you pick it up.
I'm afraid to pick it up. Now, who put this phone on hold? Did you do that?
Yeah.
By the way, people who are on hold, I don't think people who are on hold can hear anything today. That'll be fixed tomorrow. I think if you are on hold today, you'll just hear the awkward sound of silence. This is pointless because the guy who's on hold right now can't even actually hear me explaining this. Let's pick. I don't even know. Should I try to answer this? Should I pick this
do
up?
Do it.
Taking my life in my hands. Just a little background here before I answer whoever this is calling in. So we moved over to this studio on Monday. We had some rough patches, as they say, Tuesday. And then yesterday, the phones worked about 70% of the time yesterday. But there was this awkward sort of Major League Baseball echo that kept happening in the background of everything. And then poor Jim, who was calling in and then just heard some Incubus song in his ear, and then he just got cut off. This morning, the engineers were over here like 5 a.m. rewiring things. So I think the phones, if you called in the last couple of days, you may have noticed there's been a little bit of lag time, too. That you would call in, you would speak, I would hear you like half a second late, you would hear me half a second late, and then it would just escalate, and it would all start stacking up, and we wouldn't really be able to have a conversation like civilized men. I believe today, I believe that problem has been fixed. We'll find out in a second. This calls for a high concept topic. I'll find one. We'll break one out later. If you can hear this over here. You hear that? That's the sound of my new phone console. Brand spanking new. We'll see if that works here, just a scotch. Let me give you the phone numbers as we begin today's program. It's 503-733-2970. Also, in that Bank of America video or whatever it is, the...
Is the video as good as the song?
The video is even better than the song because it's a large, bald white man dressed in a... Here's a little... Even I know this. If you're going to be on camera, don't dress in all white. Even if it's just from the waist up, don't dress in blindingly white clothes because then you're just a big... You're like Scott Thomas and just a big, ghostly, floating head. Except in this case, it's like if Robert Duvall really let himself go. And at one point during this One Bank song, which is so bad that it actually makes you like you get chills. You were saying that.
Yeah, not in the good way.
Yeah.
We
made lots of money.
That is like the definition of corporate. It's so bad.
And you nailed it when you said that everybody can picture their company doing that. I don't care where you work. Anybody listening to me right now, everybody can picture some fat bastard at a corporate retreat where you work getting up there and singing like, smells like team spirit, you know, or something. See, you know it could happen. All right. But about halfway through, because he's really feeling it. I mean, he's not, there's no winking or nudging there. He's not smirking. He's doing that. He's doing that full throttle. He's living that. He's living those lyrics. And about the halfway mark, he does that thing that like a lot of rock singers do where he has one hand holding the microphone, the other hand holding, how shall I put this, the shafts of the microphone stand. And then he just begins.
You could just say microphone stand.
Well, but you know what I mean? The shaft
like
part.
The pole?
The pole. And then he begins working the pole. With his hand.
While he's feeling the music.
Feeling the shaft of the microphone stand while he's feeling the music within his heart. All right, do we have a drum roll sound effect?
Yes.
I'm going to try to answer this phone call. This could just be a wrong number for all I know.
Oh, I don't.
All right. The phone number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program telephonically, it may even work today. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com for your comments, your clarifications, your kvetching, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It is rick@rickemerson.com. I think I might actually have a drum roll here. Wait, hold on. I think if I might actually have the drum roll before we take this first phone call. Let's just... No, that's not it. Wait. Here we go. Wait, before I even do this, do we want to place bets on whether or not this is even going to work?
I think it'll work.
Okay, Sarah? Scotty?
Yes.
Is that yes you're here or yes you think it's going to work?
I think it's going to work.
All right.
I think it might be here.
Hold on.
You never know.
Why, hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Well, you know, I didn't think it would actually be me that would do this, but it's Dennis.
Hi, Dennis Pitzenbarger, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, how are you, sir?
That was completely unplanned, but I thought I'd tell you that I'm driving down Canyon Road considering which car to ram headstrong into, because if you play that song again, I'm either going to drive into another car or into a school bus full of nuns or just into the studio.
What song are you talking about?
Well, I have no... Oh, see, now you're going to say that. Now I don't have it queued up. I don't have it handy. Oh,
no, 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 no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no.
No, and I don't have... I don't have an, thank you. Thank you for covering me there. All right, there you go. I think we'll call that a yes. I don't know what the hell was going on there. Well, thanks, Dennis. Thank you.
Was he screaming, or was that just the way it sounded?
I don't know. We'll never know. Pitzenbarger, 34, was killed as he rammed his car into an embankment. All right. Let's see if I have the, later on, Scotty, I'll have you isolate this up, because there's this whole rap they do at the beginning, where this one white man in a salmon-colored tie is introducing another white man in a salmon-colored tie, before he gets up to, rock the one bank song. Oh, wait, here.
I believe Dennis has a pink tie.
He does.
Hold
on. Power tie.
See if I have the, No, it's I can't just randomly access it yet. It's gold, but it doesn't want to function quite yet. All right, well, we'll get there. All right.
MDNA is B of A.
It's fantastic.
And if one bank, one con, one name.
Oh, no, see, it's about this. Now it's buffering. Okay, I have to isolate this. We'll play it at the end of the, we'll play it later on at the end of the hour, maybe. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. It is Thursday. We're here. We're live at the brand new studios of AM 970. Let's stay radio. Here's what's coming up today. Yes, we have telephones today. So we will, later on, we'll bring, I don't know, what is, we haven't had a high concept discussion in a while. But we'll do one of those maybe like in the 1 o'clock hour. Something, because today we are not, as I was saying the other day, we were having that egg harvesting conversation. We're not a topic-oriented radio program. Really, we just come and
Can we talk about hugging?
No. Do you have somebody, is this like going to be an ongoing thing where there's a whole procession of people coming into the studio to hug me every day? Let me just say this, by the way. Can I just tell you how awkward it was to walk past Christine Levine in the hallway yesterday after she came in and gave me that long, lingering, if very enjoyable hug during yesterday's radio program? Not that I didn't appreciate it. I really did. I know that you felt... Yesterday I was having a little bit of a...
Well, I'm not going to do it, so she needs to...
Having a bit of a day. Thank you. I was having a little bit of a... Yesterday was going poorly, and so Sarah decided that I needed a hug, and so she brought in Christine Levine from the afternoon show, from the Marconi show on KUFO. And Christine, she is a mother, isn't she?
It surprised me. She does have children.
All right. Why did it surprise you?
I think she has a few children, because she seems really young.
Yeah, no, that is. She does. She does have a youthful appearance about her. Well played. And really surprises me that they allow you to have children.
No, I met her at Dante's during Rockstar Supernova, and I was, because she was talking about how old she was, which I didn't know, and then how she had kids, which just caught me off guard.
No, so Sarah had Christine come in and give me, like, a long, lingering hug during yesterday's program. It was a platonic hug, because it was long and lingering, because she does have a warm maternal sense about her. So.
And she smelled nice, and...
She smelled of talcum powder. No, and she... But motherly bosoms. Which I mean is a compliment. She's becoming more awkward. But then I go to the kitchen later on in the afternoon, and I'm walking up with my mug of coffee, and I can nearly walk right into her, and that's just odd. There's really no way to come back from that. It's 503-733-2970. So because the phones are, I believe, functioning today, we'll break out one of our patented Rick Emerson high concept topics. We're not typically a caller-driven program. We sort of take calls, but the calls here are just sort of the mortar between the bricks. They're sort of the caulk between the tiles. We don't, we'll just... We'll do something that really requires phones later on. What else do we have today? We have this story. Hey, what happened to my limbs? Also, Peter Carlin is going to join us in the studio. Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian, and all-around nice guy, will be sitting here to my immediate right in the brand-new studio today. Geek Nirvana is at hand, my friends. We'll have that story today. Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. And, I don't know, we'll bust out a top five as well. And we're going to revisit this story yesterday about this guy with hat pins in his junk. Because there's so much about it I don't understand, and I really don't... It's one of those things that I feel like I need to understand because I don't like having gaps in my knowledge. I don't like having stuff that I don't know. Lisa Goddard will join us from the Hill. And we have Jim Roop, who will be here from Los Angeles as well. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see who this is. Hello, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
Oh, please hang up and try again.
Fantastic.
If you need help,
but listen
hang
to how clear it is.
Your operator.
Let's view this glass as half full. Listen to the crystal quality of that. There we go. Thank you.
It's the time, lady.
All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Hello, and how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well.
Feeling good today?
I am.
Prepared to have a fantastic program?
I am.
All right. You're seeming bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You do seem happy to be here, full of pep and vim and vigor.
I am. Sorry about the emergency phone call I gave you yesterday.
Oh, that's okay.
Uh-huh. No, I don't want to talk about it.
No, that's okay. You can't do
that.
You can't do that.
I'm sorry, that was mean.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was mean.
Let's stop now. Here's the thing. I will not reveal this. Now, Sarah, I'm going to walk very carefully. I'm going to tread so lightly here, and then you're going to get us out of it. I'm going to wade into this.
The person that involved is aware.
Screw it. You should just say it. Then here's the thing. I'll be vague, and then you can... Do I have permission to reveal what the call was about?
Yeah.
Do I have permission to use the phrase you used?
I don't remember what I said.
Well, then I'll just say it. So last night, and then I had a kind of a rough day yesterday. Everybody who's listening knows. The best part is that my wife missed the whole show. She went home and took a long ass nap. She slept from like 11 to 2 yesterday afternoon.
Coming home in tears.
No, it's me coming up. I wish I was dead. So she slept through most of the program. She's been doing a bunch of weird shifts, and so she slept through most of the program. She called me at like 3:30. She's like, "So how did the show go today?" And I said, "Well, it was a little rough." And she said, "Yeah, I got some calls from people who know us. They said it sounded like you needed to go away for a while." Fantastic. So
it was. It was to the point of where it wasn't really funny anymore. I think that we can only get one line.
Really?
The second line keeps ringing and then all of a sudden going away.
Fantastic. Well, we'll get Jeff McGinley in here and we'll beat him repeatedly until he fixes it. Anyway, so I get this phone call last night from Sarah at like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, whenever it is you call me. And I answered it, and you had left me a voicemail, and the voicemail was like, "Hi, Rick, it's Sarah. So, this is last night. So, I hope you're feeling better. It was kind of a rough day, but you know, but just being very soothing because I was kind of in a bad place. I was just feeling burnt out when I left. So the phone call from Sarah last night is, "So I hope you're feeling better, and everything will be better on Thursday. And so I'm on my date with Raul, and well, it's just not going very well. So I better get back to that so I can just wrap it up." Okay.
I didn't think I was going to wrap it up. No, it got better. I jumped the gun because I was completely in a bad mood yesterday.
Who does that? Who calls someone else in the middle of a date that gets going so badly?
I do, because you know what? I was like, because all the attention wasn't on me, so I was getting a little like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, I see. Was Raul paying attention to somebody who wasn't Sarah Dillon?
No. Well, no, he was just off having conversations with other people.
How dare he?
And I was just so bitchy from the day that we had. It was just such a day.
Well, to be fair, you just used up all your niceness and compassion on me yesterday. Pleasantness vials were empty.
And it wasn't anything that Raul was doing. It was just me. I was done being nice.
You're seriously. And so the obvious answer is just to call me and tell me that I'm having a terrible date.
No, I jumped the gun on that because I was like 5 minutes into it. And then after that, we had a lot of fun.
We should do a top five things that make Rick and Sarah sound like they really are a couple and just deny it repeatedly. Because that's exactly what that sounds like, too. I realize that now as it's leaving my mouth, that Sarah calling me last night to go, "So I'm on a date with this other guy and it's just going really bad. Just wanted to call.
I didn't say
bye.
Really bad.
Love you.
It wasn't going as well as I had anticipated.
Yeah, okay.
But it got better.
Hello, Rick Emerson Radio. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm looking for technical assistance.
For what?
I am online, and I want to have the radio station company. You know what I'm saying?
What radio station?
Rick Anderson.
Oh, hello. Okay, you wanted to talk to Rick. Are you trying to receive this?
Yes. I'm not very technical, and I listen in my car all the time, and I thought, hey, I can listen in the office. So I'm trying to do that, and I can't.
Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to go to rickemerson.com, Miss Sandra.
I'm at WW970AM.
So
and that's giving me the show, but I can't get, I've got volume, but I can't hear anything, so am I not talking somewhere?
Yes. No, go to rickemerson.com.
You should.
That's just I don't have to Rick Emerson show at Rick Emerson.
No, it's just.
I'm going to try it, okay.
Okay, it's just rickemerson.com, and there's a little listen live thing there you can click on.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Okay.
You're moving into my office now. It was just a car.
I don't understand what's going on with this phone call.
I know, I'm very non-technical. Thanks, fine.
All right, thank you. That was peculiar. This is what happens when I don't have anybody screening calls. I just take all of these insane listeners. Hello, Rick Emerson radio program. What's up?
Just was calling to solve a mystery from the end of yesterday's show. You're wondering how that guy, the sword swallower, pierced his sphincter?
Yeah, well, he pierced his sphincter. He apparently couldn't open his... He couldn't swallow a sword because he had an infection of some kind in his sphincter, or vice versa.
Well, it's probably the sphincter that separates his stomach from his throat, not the tail end one.
You're lying. You don't have multiple sphincters.
Any of those muscular type openings along the tract are called a sphincter.
How many sphincters do you have?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I know that's what they are.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right. There you go. Look at how those phones are working. That's fantastic. I can take all kinds of meaningless and distracting calls. Throughout the day, we can take 4 hours worth of calls that make no sense. 503-733-2970. We are joined today by Scotty J, who is in for the ailing Tim Ryder. Poor Tim, man. And I know it's just got to be killing him.
On his birthday, too.
On his birthday, which was yesterday, which I forgot to mention. He snuck out of here before we were able to mention it. Tim, who turned 37 yesterday, and we were not able to give him any birthday greetings. So he called me this morning at like 7 a.m., and I look over in the phone, and it is Tim Riley, and that's one, you know, I know exactly what that is. He's,
hello, this is Tim. I have no voice. I'm sorry to do this to you. I can't make it in again.
So today we have Scotty J, who is working on the following stories at the AM 970 newsroom.
Yes, happy birthday, Tim. Could it be possible yet another injured climber is rescued off of Mount Hood? Tyra Banks tells critics to kiss her fat posterior. And in the UK Gwent town, the raw sewage is hell for residents.
Well, see, there you go. That's all. You know, by the end of the week, you'll sound like an actual news person, Scotty J. If you call into today's program, Scotty J will actually... And you're in the same building as us because the phones have moved over. Everything is now under one roof. But this is what I admit. One roof! One phone! This is... I'm going to sing every other segment today as the guy from the One Bank U2 MBNA thing. For the last few days, Scotty has been in one building. The phones have been in one building. We've been in another building. Nothing. We haven't all been here together. But today, everything is now moved over here to our new studios first. So it's going to be the best show ever. It's 503-733-2. And here's how you know it's going to be the best show ever, because I believe Art Alexakis will be in the building later on today. He's just coming to say hello to us. I don't think. I think he's going to be in that. And I think he's going to be in the studio right next to us.
Why?
So we can stare at him. I think he just comes to hang out.
He doesn't come to hang out. He has to be doing something.
I think he just comes by, like, can I sleep here for a while?
Be nice.
Is the state fair coming up?
Wait. Somebody's sitting in a Tim Riley chair. Zing! Okay, that really, Scotty. I mean, seriously, no fooling, no kidding around. That really is 2 points right there. Fantastic. I don't even have the.
I've actually been taking lessons from Tim. He's taught me a lot.
That was almost worthy of Tim Riley. It really was. Well done. I don't really know why he's going to be here. I just remember working at Entercom, and Art would just come by and just hang out in the lobby for no reason for hours on end. Just sort of stare at people when they came in to pick up their prizes and make them uncomfortable. You know it's true.
I know. I was gonna disagree, but I remember.
You know that it happened. So, I mean, I'm sure he's coming by to do something. He's sort of
Why do you have to make everything awkward with everybody?
That's what I do. He's sort of like Carl Weathers on Arrested Development. She's sort of like, are you going to eat that? Anywho. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Tony. I wanted to talk to Rick about the Mount Hood climber.
What do you want to talk to him about?
Oh,
you want to talk to Rick? Okay, hold on.
Do you like the Yankees? Or is NASCAR more your speed?
Hello, this is Tony.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
I just heard Scotty say that they finally plucked those guys off Mount Hood.
I don't think so. I think it's some different guys.
Oh,
those guys they're never going to find. They're just going to leave them up there as tourist attractions.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd pluck those guys up there, pluck them off pretty quick.
And do you have a vested interest in that? Pluck them off.
Why do you keep saying pluck?
I think he just wanted to say pluck them off, because, you know. Ah!
Well, it's your choice, your right, to pick a card that shows your heart and your pride. We're one with infinity.
All right, 503-733-2970. Thank you, Scott. Scotty's going to go screen the calls for us. All right, so Art Alexakis is going to... Well, he won't be here. He will be about 4 feet away on the other side of a window so we can stare at him and make him nervous. Although it usually works the other way around. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
I don't think he's as scared of us as we are of him.
Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us. Jim Roop is going to be joining us. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian will be in the studio today. We'll do the top five. We'll do the suburban perspective with Scotty J and so forth and so on. If you'd like to be part of today's program, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Stay there. We'll get everything underway when we return. Don't go anywhere. Program, The Descendants. All right, 503-733-2970. Hello, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Who's this?
This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Rick. Hey, sounds like you're doing better today.
No, it's yesterday, I believe, was the nadir. I believe yesterday was the low...
It was the peak.
Yesterday was the trough. Yesterday was the low watermark, Rick Emerson mental style. So,
I'm here to brighten up your day a little bit. By the way, Sarah, great job keeping the peace yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
No, Sarah, without Sarah yesterday, everything would have just ended in a big flaming implosion. That would have been bad, yeah.
Right, well, that was my day. Yesterday was my birthday. Cut my finger halfway off. Got flipped off by somebody, and somebody stole my dog when I got home.
Somebody stole your dog?
Somebody stole my dog.
That is the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
Did you get it back?
We got it back late last night. We found it over in the park. Two kids were obviously said they didn't know whose dog it was, and bolted once we...
Who steals a man's dog? That ain't right. You don't steal a man's dog.
Yeah, I had a wonderful birthday.
Yeah, well, so there you go. It's funny, man, because... Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, my day was a whole lot worse just so yours could be better today.
Thank you. I appreciate that, sir. I appreciate you being the S magnet for me, just drawing all the bad luck your way. All right, Jimmy, enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Wait, let me just reset this, and all right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, are you able to hear me today?
You know, it's the same thing. It sounds like you're on speakerphone. You're
Lisa,
kind of in the distance there.
I didn't really want to talk about this, but I think maybe you're just deaf. I didn't want to just come out and say, but I think maybe you have defective ears, Lisa.
See, that competes with my theory, which is your new studio is actually your car.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to. I've been fired, actually. I'm not really doing a radio program. I'm just sitting outside in a beaten-up Ford Escort talking to you on a cell phone.
Trying to feel better about you. Right.
Really? How would you know?
That is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, there really isn't a... Especially because on Monday we did tell you, like, we have a new call-in number for you. You're not going to be calling
exactly.
The old number. Really, the new call-in number just goes to my house. The new number just goes to my basement where I sit in my own filth next to the radiator trying to stay warm and weeping to myself.
Right.
Fantastic. You, however, you sound fantastic. We've got a brand new phone system here, so we'll work on getting my levels a little higher. You sound great, though. Your voice is crystalline and rich.
Wow,
so
fantastic.
So there you go. So let's, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. Well, first of all, let's just wrap up yesterday a little bit. So what has Joe Biden said to try to dig himself out of this unfortunate hole that he put himself in by referring to Barack Obama as being articulate and clean?
About that, he came out and said, I am sorry if I offended anyone, which is sort of the, you know, apology 101. I'm sorry if I offended anyone, and I certainly didn't mean to imply anything bad about the senator. So he gave the blanket apology, and I think it looks like Senator Obama's gonna let that fly. The question is how much is this gonna haunt him? He's back today in the middle of a huge Iraq debate. It is wild on Capitol Hill today. Republicans and Democrats both split over how they're gonna vote on Iraq. Biden is in the middle of all of that negotiation. Lots of backroom negotiations, and he's in the center of it. So he's focusing his remarks today on Iraq. He's had committee hearing today, and hoping that people move on. But we'll see once we get back into the real presidential spotlight if this haunts him or not.
But this is this business about Iraq, though. This is they're just voting on this measure. It's this complete non-binding resolution, right? It's just a thing that says, well, we don't like it. I mean, that's pretty much what we're talking about, right?
We're not so happy. Well, that's the plan right now. That's why it is so wild today on the Hill, is because there is a lot of disagreement over where they should go. It seems the main cluster of senators, and that's where this debate is starting, is for that non-binding resolution. And in fact, Biden is going and he's killing his resolution, signing on to the Republican-led one so that they can try and build a very large coalition in support. But again, it's non-binding. And just in the last half hour, Senator Chris Dodd, another presidential candidate, we should get a presidential candidate sounder, but he came out and said, this is ridiculous. This is not doing anything. I don't feel like it's strong enough. I would rather have, because what's going on is they want to get as many votes as possible, signaling opposition to the troop increase in Iraq. So they're trying to get a resolution that the most people can support. And Dodd is saying, I'd rather have fewer votes for something that has teeth than more votes for something that, in his view, doesn't do anything. But this is the farthest the Senate's gone, and those who support this resolution say what their plan is by having a strong statement against the troop increase, they're hoping that eventually they'll pressure the president into changing his policy.
Well, I mean, color me all kinds of stupid, but I mean, this really just seems like more of just the same insular Washington crap. And by that, here's what I mean by that, is that I think it goes without saying, I think the empirical evidence is such that we all realize that the American people, the majority of them, are at least not for staying the same course in Iraq, if not for getting out of Iraq altogether. In other words, most of the American people, I think, have already just decided that we got to start pulling out of this place. And so it just seems like we're wasting a lot of time. The Senate is wasting a lot of time trying to put together completely cosmetic legislation that just says what the American people have already said back in November. There just doesn't seem to be any point to this. It just seems to be something that they're doing so they can feel good about themselves. It's not going to impress any of us because we reached that same conclusion like a year ago.
You know, that's tricky. I think you've got a good case there. I think that that's what Chris Dodd and others are saying. And I think this Congress, this is farther than most of these Republicans have ever gone in opposing the leader of their party, the president. But what does it really mean? What is this really going to do? That's what some. I think they're saying, we think, well, this will pressure the president down the road. And, you know, I think the fact is that this Congress has let everything happen in Iraq happen without much oversight for so long that now they've got to at least engage in the debate, and this is how they're deciding to do it. So is this really talk, or does this really matter? I'm with you. I'm not clear yet on how that goes, but I'll tell you, it really is frenetic here, as those who would like to see a stronger statement, perhaps cutting off some funding for the increased troops, those kinds of things, are doing battle with those on the other side who say, we don't want any resolution at all. We think that by even saying that we oppose the troop increase, we're hurting America and we're making us look divided. So you've got these extremes on both ends. And in the middle is where Congress looks like it's settling down. But maybe that's just, you know, a milquetoast middle, as you said.
I love the word milquetoast. And here's a question about milquetoast. I don't understand why it's spelled with a Q. It doesn't make any sense, because milk isn't a French word, is it? M-I-L-Q-U-E? That's not a French word. That's made up.
I need to check, but I'm pretty sure it's a reference to a person.
Really? Like Harvey Milquetoast?
Yeah, like it may actually be, and I feel like it's derived from some cartoon from long ago. I don't know exactly the reference.
You know, now that I think about it, it doesn't even make any sense. Milquetoast. It is completely.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense at all. It's like somebody was pointing out to me that you recited a play and you play at a recital, and it's just one of those English language things that just starts to bend your brain in half.
Yes, it was in fact a New York Herald Tribune cartoon. Apparently, a fictional character named Casper Milquetoast. There you go.
See, here's the great thing about this program is, even on the worst of days, and by worst of days I mean yesterday, I come out of this program is a long tunnel, and I come out of it on the other end smarter every day than I was going in, because now I know something I didn't know before. Real quick, and I don't want to drag this up for too long, but
will there be a 1B?
No, I'm sorry. That was my Lincoln Douglas debating background coming back, and I was trying to put everything into subpoints. one and or A is not to sound like a paranoid conspiracy theorist here, because I'm really not, but I do tend to believe the worst about people, and I do believe that people are just generally bad and aggressively dumb. And so my question is, really, in just a theoretical sense, is there any limit to what sort of military escalation the president could decide to order? Because he does have a sort of a blank check, right? I mean, there's really no limit to what he could try to do.
Well, there is a limit to the strength of the American military, and I think that is probably his most realistic limit that he's facing right now. And how much equipment do we have? Some people are asking, do we have enough equipment even for this surge right now to get these guys fully ready for deployment? I think that's probably his strongest limit, but theoretically, no, he could order.
But I mean, if he just decided tomorrow he wanted to annex Toronto, I mean, like he could do that, right? Because he's been given these war powers this authority.
No, I wouldn't mess with Toronto. You know, in this war powers resolution, it is broad. It does indicate. It doesn't limit him necessarily to one exact area, but I don't think he could get away with going to Toronto. But I think besides the military, he could increase it by the military in Iraq significantly. But there is a question pragmatically, do we have how would that affect the rest of the military? How would that affect our troops in Afghanistan, our troops here? Do we have the equipment? I think those are his real limits, and I think we're not too far from really having to deal with those limits right now.
Just as a final side note here, is this true, or am I hallucinating things? Has Al Gore been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize?
Oh, you know, my understanding of the Nobel Peace Prize is the nominations themselves are secret, and you don't know unless someone discloses that they nominate. But there's hundreds of people, I think, could be nominated. And that doesn't mean that he's a finalist. But I hadn't heard that. It's possible.
That is, Drudge is reporting that, so you kind of take that with the requisite amount of salt. But the word from Drudge is that Al Gore has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, which is just, I mean, I know that guy's probably never going to run for president again, because he just seems so much happier. You just see him, because before, I mean, look, I think I speak the truth, as we all see it. You saw Al Gore when he was underneath Bill Clinton, and he was out running in 2000, and he just seemed like a beaten, broken man all the time. He just seemed like he was just miserable, and like the spark in his eyes was slowly going out like a low battery robot. And you see him now, and he just seems so virile and just sort of like full of energy again. And he really seems like he ought to have a beard and be chopping wood out by a log cabin somewhere, wearing like a frontiersman outfit or something. So
you know, this looks legit. This is an Associated Press story quoting a Norwegian lawmaker. So it looks like he has, in fact, been nominated. And they're considering him seriously, it looks like.
All right, there you go. I think we should...
Can we talk about the Moonanites?
Okay, now, yes, let's please do that. Go ahead.
Can I tell you, I have a picture of a Moonanite in my booth window right now here in the United States Capitol to try and, make fun of my company, which I think perhaps some people would criticize me in Boston. I know it was terrible inconvenience and a scare. I know it was bad. And, of course, we're talking about, I don't know if you've had this on your show yet today, but about this.
Well, the idea that...
the scare in Boston that turned out to be a publicity event.
From the Cartoon Network. And I love the idea that anything the government can't immediately identify is automatically the work of terrorists.
I love that they blew up one of these things, which was just, some LED screen, I guess.
It's so great that, like if I were just to leave a wheel of cheese around somewhere that they couldn't immediately identify as that, suddenly it's got to be blown into little pieces.
Blow it up.
I mean, it really does seem like Dr. Strangelove is running this country sometimes, where anything that doesn't immediately throw up its hands and surrender, any inanimate object, that gets the key is to blow it into small little neutrinos.
And I personally love that we're watching this, and I'm wondering, am I going to have to go to Boston? We're watching, everybody here is kind of like, what is this? And CNN for hours, doing the, and back in Boston, again in Boston, tap dancing about this very serious situation, and then of course hours later it turns out our parent company.
Yeah.
Impossible. I loved it.
And in Seattle too, I think I heard it was also Seattle.
Yeah, you guys have some. You have some Moonanite displays in Seattle, apparently.
I think it was also. Yeah, I think it was also in Seattle. And I've got this somebody here, an email that said, seriously, Rick, if you see a Moonanite and think, quote, this is the work of Osama, end quote, then you really ought to be the one to reimburse the city for the expense, not the guy who put it there. So it's. I mean, who sees that and says this has to be the work of Islamic extremists, which is clearly what was going through their head. So yeah, it is. Sometimes you just have to look at the things your parent company does, and you just sort of shrug, and you decide just to grit your teeth and get through the day however you can.
I would have loved to have been in those offices when... Should we tell CNN? Should we not tell them? should we tell them?
Fantastic. All right. I can't think of any other ways to drag this out. I've been looking around, and I've really got nothing. All right. I'm so happy that the phones work today that really I just want to sit here and talk for like 40 minutes just about whatever, because it's been a long, long 3.5 days here, but I think we've had the last of the problems. Tomorrow I'll get the output cranked up a little bit tomorrow so you can actually hear me. All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your Washington afternoon. We will speak to you soon.
All right.
Thank you. There you go. There's Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fantastic. How great was that? She could hear me for most of it.
I know. I was stuck on the fact that she thinks you're broadcasting out of your car.
Well, how would she know?
It's very true. I know. It's funny.
Especially because on Monday, again, it was like a whole, we've got a new call-in number. Don't call the old one. Call this new one. Where does it go to the studio? Yeah, it goes to the studio, baby. Call me. And so, how would she know, really? I was just sort of sitting here. I could be on the moon, for all she knows. I could be in Carlsbad.
It's true, because nobody knows when a station's going to flip format.
I could be sitting at a too soon.
Too soon. Come on.
I don't have it as a wave file, which is how I need it to be able. I can't play it automatically. Hold on. Now, see, it won't play. No, it doesn't want to play. Wait, hold on. Let me try that one more time. See how pointless this is, because then I've missed the... and it's going to bring up the Winamp to play this, and it's going to be all full of hiss. Hiss and vinegar. Wait, here we go. Hope you appreciate this. Oh, wait, no, and that won't play either.
Okay.
No, I can't play this through something. Because I could be talking to Lisa Goddard at a McDonald's somewhere. I could be just sitting there on one of those prepaid cell phones I stole from a plaid pantry, and just sitting at a Pietro's Pizza going, yeah, so let's welcome Lisa Goddard from the Hill. And I'd just be sitting there without my pants. So, how would she even know? I know someone... Now, this person shall remain nameless, but I do know someone who, how shall I put this? And he did this while he was in radio, and then... Thank you.
I just wanted to hear from
you. I know, I appreciate that. I know this person who, while he was in radio, and then later after he had been asked to leave radio, he would conduct interviews
with authors and with people who worked for companies and so forth, just so he could get free samples of their products. And
I respect that.
They had no idea he was no longer at a red. Because, you know, you're some idiot. You know, because he would call a company from like, he would call like a, whatever, like a camera company that had some new digital camera on the market. And he would call. First, as he, the key is you always call the booker. You don't ever call the guest themselves. He would call the booker and just be like, "Hey, this is so and so. I'd love to book. What's his name from the camera company for an interview to talk about this exciting new digital camera you guys have got on the market? You know, no, it's great. Yeah, no, we'd love to have him on our midday show. Yeah, so can we book him for next week and have him come on and talk about it? Could we get a tester for that? Yeah, could you? Great, if you could get us a test version of that camera, you know, so we just know what we're talking about, that'd be, yeah, no, here's my address. And so the booker would send him a camera, and then next Tuesday, like, he would give him the home number, and his phone would ring at, like, noon, and he would answer it, and it would be the guest, and he would just talk to the guest while sitting on his couch for, like, 20 minutes and go, "Thanks for being on my radio program. No, that's great. Lovely, hang up," and then he's got the guest. That's what he would do. Once a week or so, he would just book a fake interview, and the guest would just call this guy at his home, never knowing that he was just talking to an unemployed guy on the couch. And the unemployed guy would just get all this crap in the mail every week from people who thought they were being guests on his radio program. Not that I would advocate doing that, but that is a thing that has been done. What time is it? Should we break here? We should probably break.
We could.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up around the corner, the AM 970 noon news hour. Later on, Peter Carlin live in studio. The top five, the suburban perspective with Scotty J, Jim Roop, etc., etc., so on and so forth. Stay right there. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's